All right, welcome back to another episode of Frog Fever, a Big 12 basketball podcast brought to you by killerfrogs.com. Nick, it is officially March. This is our first podcast of March. It's March 3rd as we're
This
recording
is
it.
March.
And man, March got off to a pretty good start for TCU. March 1st, they played UCF. Obviously, we'll get into all this later, but how are the vibes in Fort Worth now that it's March? How are we feeling?
The vibes are through the roof in Fort Worth for college
Yeah.
basketball. The baseball team's going a little rough, and we'll worry about that later. But basketball right now, you start off right away, March 1st, you said the UCF win, but the real story of TCU Athletics right now is the women's basketball team.
Yeah,
They
absolutely.
just, I was in Waco yesterday in one of the most unbelievable women's basketball environments I've ever been, one of the best basketball environments I've ever been in. And to follow this team's story from 1-17 2 years ago, hiring Campbell, and then the injuries last year, and then bringing in Haley Van Lith and Donovan Hunter, and Maddie Shear's been out this year, but Sony Taylor Bigby, like you can go on about this roster. What he's done is unbelievable, and to win a Big 12 championship at Baylor, and we know with the men's team they've had some success at Foster Pavilion recently.
Yeah.
So it's always fun going there. That was just an unbelievable time, and yeah, I know we're the men's basketball podcast, so go for more women's basketball content if you're listening to this and want to get into that. Also on Killer Frogs, Splash Pad is the podcast hosted by Tori Couch, who's amazing at almost every game, and JD's all right as well. Yeah, so they host Splash Pad if you want one more women's basketball content, but invest in this team. It's been an unbelievable season, and to see the growth of them is amazing. They've all been super kind to the media, and I've gotten to know some players, and obviously Coach Campbell and the staff, and they're awesome. They're everything they appear to be, and everything their success has gotten them is for a reason.
Yeah, it's just incredible thinking about their turnaround from, like you said, 1-17. Now they're going to be, a top two or three seed in the NCAA tournament. So, what a great job Mark Campbell's done. He's unbelievable, really. Yeah, shout out to Tori. Go listen to her podcast. Let's talk men's hoops because men's hoops. It's not going quite as well as women's hoops, but they have found themselves in the conversation here in early March, which is all you can ask for this team who has been without its best player for most of the season. This team looked dead multiple times, and they're hanging around now after a really nice win over UCF. But we'll start with the midweek game that they played. They go to Morgantown, a really tough place to play, and they just aren't ready to go. They kind of get their doors blown, and this is one you definitely would have liked to have, just because, coming off a similarly disappointing game against Cincinnati, it would be a good bounce back. But the story for me here is that Javon Small is really good, and they did not do enough to stop him. I wrote about it in my preview. Like, you pretty much have to make someone else on this team beat you. So whether that's sending multiple guys at Javon, whether you got to do something, and he pretty much beat him. He had 23 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, really good efficiency. What do you make of a loss like this? They weren't supposed to win. They were obviously underdog on the road, but it was not an encouraging showing for the offense. Only had one guy in double digits. I don't know, what were your thoughts on this game?
Just a really bad offensive performance. They got off to a 5-0 start, and then so you're feeling good about it, and then West Virginia goes on an 18-0 run, and they go basically 10
That's
minutes
never good.
scoreless. Yeah, it was a Ever since the 5-0 lead, it went down, and they were never really close to getting back. And they cut it to single digits in the second half, but it was 9, and it was just never really a thing. It's just an all around bad performance. Like you said, like the The defense wasn't even really that bad. The one thing, like you said, they let Javon Small loose too many times. And Javon Small's the one guy on this roster with DeVries out, as we talked about, who can be lethal for them and is the main guy you want to stop. And when they were in man, they were running him off screens, and it was just confusing the defense, which is not good. And Javon Small is going to make you pay the majority of the time, and he was hitting tough shots on tough shots. Credit to him. I think he's right up there for Big 12 Player of the Year, and definitely has a great case, especially if he leads this West Virginia team to the tournament. So shout out to him. But yeah, offensively, just bad. They had no rhythm. They weren't moving a lot. They weren't getting easy looks, and even early in the game, they were like kind of fumbling easy opportunities that they had, which you can't do on the road, as we've seen this offense struggle. One thing that really hurt him is no Reynolds got in foul trouble early on in that game, and as we talked about, he's so important for this offense. He's the leading scorer for a reason. He's one of the best scorers in the Big 12 for a reason, and when you lose him, it affects you a lot. And they couldn't really find another guy to really take the load. Like, only one guy got in double digits, and it was Tre'Zarian White with 11, who's been better recently. But yeah, it's one I think you wash, maybe not wash, but don't get caught up in too much, which foreshadowing, they bounce back pretty well. But yeah, not too crazy amount that's honestly worth talking about. I mean, we know the struggles, we know the offensive struggles, it's struggles we've seen all year, and this was kind of a maximum showing of them. So just a very bad offensive performance, one of the worst of the year for TCU for sure, and not what you want to see at this time of the year.
You don't win games in this conference when you shoot as bad as poorly as TCU did. Just under 40% from the field, 21.4% from three. Actually shot free throws pretty well, but it didn't matter. I think you're right. You watch this, and the mindset since, probably last week has been you got to win all these games. After that West Virginia, I guess after the Cincinnati and then West Virginia loss, now the mindset is really intensified. You have to win the rest of your games if you want a chance, and then you're gonna have to do some damage in the Big 12 tournament in a couple weeks. But let's move on to UCF, because this game was a lot more fun for TCU. They score 49 points in the first half, which is just such a stark difference from whatever they did against West Virginia, offensively. And they got production from everywhere pretty much. I think it was like four of their five guys, or no, no yeah. Yeah, four of their five guys in the starting lineup ended in double digits. Jace Posey getting the start, that was something that was pretty exciting for me. He ends with 10 and 5. I'll let you take it over here though. What were your thoughts on this game? Your biggest takeaways? How big of a win was this for TCU?
Yeah, it was a massive win because, as you said, with the West Virginia loss, like we lost bad road trip, we lost both those games by double digits. They have zero breathing room for an NCAA tournament bid at this point. Like, you have to win out the regular season before you even start thinking about anything in the Big 12 tournament. And I think one thing that's been very encouraging about this team is that there's so many times I felt this year where it could be so easy to quit. With how many senior transfers come in, and as we know, the only guy who played minutes last year was Uday, and he's a transfer himself. So the culture to win here as a team, like with pride of the school, is definitely in question when you have so many new guys and putting together a team. Just at this time of the year, things get in question, especially with the bad road trip. And I thought, when you lose at home to Utah early in the year, like that could have been a moment, but they bounce back against Baylor. When you lose however many they lost in a row later, then they turn it around and be back in this bubble conversation. It's very it, it's a an ode to Dixon for keeping this team together, and it's also an ode to the players for keeping spirits up and playing for their team, because this was a very good team performance against UCF in a game that they needed to have. They had complete control from the start. We saw at UCF they lost by 27 points, and they got off to they were down 13 before it felt like the game even started. And right off the bat, third or 7-0 run, and they never looked back. They had complete control of the entire game, It was awesome to see because it was great team basketball, and to balance this with West Virginia, like, I mean, if we're being honest, UCF's defense is beyond worse than West Virginia, and being at home obviously makes a bigger impact. But even just Reed, like, their offense was moving well. I thought Jace Posey did a good job. Obviously, his first career start, like, we talk about it all the time, but his growth this season has been unbelievable. Like, I did not have this in the cards for him when I saw how he was contributing non-conference, and even through January, like February had a switch for him, and he just has become a completely different player and living up to that talented prospect that he's been, and he's only a freshman, so this is such a good sign for TCU going forward. All the young guys really had amazing games. Like, Vachon Ouellette was amazing, specifically in the first half. He had 17 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Like, I asked Dixon post game about, is his usage rate is third in the Big 12. Is that something that's designed? And he was basically just like, when you lose Frank Collins for the year, he has to be that. And you don't necessarily want your guys on a usual team to have the sophomores or the freshmen being your highest usage guys, but this is the position they have to be in. And Rashawn has delivered. I know he has a struggle to turn the ball over and consistently being efficient, but like, this experience is so good for him working out these kinks. And if he stays, like, he's going to be such a good player, especially like his next year and his senior year, just having an off season with the same team and being able to work together with the coaches. And just this game experience is unbelievably valuable for him because he's one of the most important players on this team. Oude was amazing. Oude, 16 points, 11 rebounds. When he gets a double double, he's amazing. It's cool because Oude doesn't really have like a big post offense game, but today he was, or Saturday he was amazing. He was patient down low, having good fundamentals on footwork down on the post. He was good at protecting the rim, and him and Vachon and Noah have such a good chemistry right now in that pick and roll. Like, that's what's going to be dependent for their offense. Punch looks insanely confident right now. He was making shots all over the floor. Jason, we talked about Micah, had one of his best games. He had 12 points, 5 rebounds, and Malik had 4 blocks. Like, we talk again, I'll go back to past topics, but you want the guys, preferably at this point in the season, to do well is the young guys, and that's exactly what happened in this game. Like, this core is so special if they can stay together. I know there's so many question marks about that, and I don't know the answers. I don't know if anybody knows the answers right now, but in terms of this season, this year, like, it's super encouraging to see what these guys had to do, and just an all-around great game. They held Keyshawn Hall. Punch was the main defender, and Keyshawn Hall's the top scorer in the Big 12 this season, and they held him to 3 of 17 from the floor. So it was TCU's best conference performance, in my opinion, and one of their best games played all year. So this is very encouraging for a bounce back and something they needed to flip the tides, because as we said before, there's no breathing room now, but you're still alive. They're still on bubble boards everywhere. They're still 9-9 in conference. They tied their record for most Big 12 wins in a season after everything that's happened. Like, it's so super encouraging. And yeah, that game was pretty.
They grabbed, I'm looking at the stats, they grabbed 49 rebounds. That's huge. They scored 48 points in the paint, which is pretty outrageous. They didn't shoot the three ball well, but they got their spots in the paint, were aggressive, and I think that's a huge thing. But yeah, man, I mean, this is a must-win game. And they took care of business. Like you said, they're now 16 and 13 overall. They're 9-9 in conference play and 10-10 in the Big 12. We've said that's kind of a benchmark that teams have. I'm not, we don't know if that's going to be enough this year, but it's in reach, which is pretty special. And, I guess we can look ahead now to, so they have Baylor on Tuesday and Colorado on the road on Saturday. Like both these games are massive, massive games. That game against Baylor, obviously TCU beat Baylor on the road earlier this year. Tuesday, it'll be tomorrow as we're recording this. That game won't be quite as big. The stakes won't be quite as high as the women's TCU Baylor game we saw this weekend. But this is an important game for both teams. Baylor is now kind of right. I mean, they're on the right side of the bubble, but they're on the bubble. I think Lenardi had them
Yeah, for
for last
sure.
four byes, so they are definitely. I mean, they're in a good position. They're not totally safe, I would say. So that's a big
100%.
game. Both these teams are going to want to win, and I mean, as big as it is for Baylor, it's even bigger for TCU. This is a true must-win game, the last real opportunity on the regular season schedule to pick up a quality win. Obviously, they're going to have opportunity in the tournament, but I mean, looking ahead right now, this is a pretty good opportunity for TCU.
Yeah, it's massive, as you said. Like, when you look at the standings, TCU's got the tiebreaker right now, but they have that same 9-9 record as Baylor, and as you mentioned, they're both bubble teams. Like, TCU could, if they beat Baylor at home some Tuesday, so I guess tomorrow when people are listening to this, they could potentially knock them out of the tournament, which would be so funny and such a great storyline for these teams, because Baylor was, top 10 team coming into the year, all the talent in the world, and it just hasn't worked out for them for whatever reason. I know they're a little bit hurt and stuff like that, but it's two winnable games, it's two tough games. It's exciting times because of these opportunities. Like you said, Baylor, we already beat them on the road, and they're coming in. They're more talented, but with a home crowd environment, TCU's been so good at Sholmeyer Arena this year. Only two losses for the men's. It's pretty special, and what they can do to build momentum into the Big 12 tournament. Like, if you go 11-9, it's and maybe potentially out of one of the Big 12 tournament. I know metrics suck, and we got into this conversation last week heavy with bubble. So if you want more like specifics, go into that of what they have to do. But it's tough to deny that, and
It's
that's just
really tough.
exciting. Their game Saturday on the road, which I know they haven't been good on the road at all this year, and that's going to be a tough game. But Colorado, in my opinion, is the worst team in the Big 12, and they're the worst team in the Big 12 standings. So if there's a team you want to play on the road, it's probably Colorado. So they, again, tough but winnable, and I'm excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean 11-9 in this conference. I think KenPom has it as the third highest rated conference behind the SEC, which is just kind of a historically great conference, but right behind the Big Ten, ahead of the Big East by a good amount. This is a really, really tough schedule of games for a conference team. And TCU winning 11 of them, they've never done that. So I
They haven't even
mean,
won 10.
yeah, I mean, it's just like it's hard for me to look at that. I know their non-conference they struggled a little bit, but I mean, it's so hard to say to deny it. A team that went above 500 and one of the best conferences in basketball, and also. You've been talking about this. We talked about it last week. They have good wins. They have quad one wins, enough of them, especially compared to some of these other bubble teams. They have some nice wins, and I don't know. I think if you get to 11-9, I know it's getting ahead of us a little bit. If you get to 11-9 and then maybe win a game or two in the tournament, which again is tough, but if you can do that, I really find it hard, especially with a bubble as weak as this one this year. I really would find it hard for them to deny TCU a spot. It just like they, ever since Big 12 play started, they've taken care of business exactly. I mean, exactly how they've w probably wanted to. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's it's right there for them. They're gonna have they've certainly got a lot of work to do, but the path, I mean. It's in their hands. If they want a spot, they got to keep winning.
I like that point, because it truly is one of the worst, arguably the worst bubble of all time, week wise. And again, if they value wins, like, these wins are important. I think what's so funny is that after all this season, like, there seems to be a narrative about the men's basketball team this year. Maybe it's just comparison with the women's or whatever it is, but that It has been a down year. And when you look at the scope of everything, like from a season perspective, they had no expectations to make the NCAA tournament coming into the season. That was
No.
with Frankie Collins. You lose your starting point guard. You have to play all these freshmen. You have to start freshman, sophomore. They've jumbled everything. And they're put in a position ahead. They were picked 10th in the Big 12. That right now they sit at 7. They in all analytics, like, I think they're 12 in KenPom coming into the year, like 14 in Evan Maya. It's this is has been a successful building block year. They sit 9-9 with a chance. They're still alive in every bracketology to make the NCAA tournament. I know when you look at, like, the job women's basketball has done has obviously exceeded a level that's far surpassed what the men's have done by winning the Big 12. But it's different, and with the resources TCU men's basketball has comparative to other men's basketball teams in the Big 12, like, they're bottom half for sure. To do this with freshmen, like, nobody does it with freshmen, especially at a power conference level. So I just want to give a shout out of a perspective for. Because you knew they were so old last year, and obviously, like, the Utah State loss leaves a bad taste in your mouth of what this team can do, because that was a bad loss that they shouldn't have had, and that team probably should have done better. I don't know, but coming off of three straight tournament wins, when this program hasn't done anything, and to even have a chance with the youngest team in Power Five playing wise, like, it's in my mind has been a successful season so far. Like, if you told me preseason they go 9-11, like, right before the Big 12 started, they go 9-11 in conference, I would say that's a, like, I wouldn't have believed you. Like, the fact they're at this level, and I know it's been close wins, but a win's a win in my opinion. And yeah, I'm excited for this journey. I hope they win a ton, but even if they don't, like, it's there's building blocks on this season, and I think that's where that perspective is important when you look at this team. But in terms of bubble conversation, another thing is, like, for TCU fans to root for, they're at a point where they're outside and they need all the help they can get. So it's looking at all at large, like, you gotta root. They need as minimal bid stealers come conference championships are already starting. As minimal bid stealers as possible. They cannot have that. Like, you look at, like, you need Chalk in ACC, Big East, SEC. I know SEC probably, like, the whole damn conference is going to go in, so that really doesn't matter. But every conference that has the potential for an at-large, they need the winners to win, because if they don't, like, that drops them so many more spots. So it's definitely doable, and you just got to focus on winning these two to start, because it could be special. Again, like I said, with such a unique situation that they're in, like, if they're able to do anything to sneak in, it's special.
I mean, last thing before we get into the next bit segment. I mean, I remember just over a month ago, after, they had lost that terrible game to UCF, lost on the road to Texas Tech. They're 3-6 at that point. They're 10-10 overall, 3-6 in the Big 12. Since that point, they've only lost three games. They have wins at Arizona State. They have wins over Texas Tech. They just got kind of a big revenge win against UCF. They've just done such an excellent job of not folding when they really easily could have. After they, I mean, at that point on January 29th, they had lost three straight games. They'd lost 4 of 5, and
It was
it
bad.
was about as bad as it could be, and
Yeah.
they've really responded really well, and they've got a shot. So it would be just incredible. It would be a incredible story if they could sneak in.
Yeah, for sure. It's an exciting time, and it's March, so
Yeah,
I'm stoked for the
March.
last regular season game at Schollmeyer tomorrow, and
Yeah, pack it out.
yeah, 100% blackout is the theme, and it should be fun. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a quick break. We'll keep the March talk going next with some Big 12 basketball conversation.
Let's do it.
All right, we're back talking Big 12 hoops. What do you want to start with? I guess we can get into winners and losers. It was another really good week. A lot of really good games. Feels redundant saying that because every week you get these types of games, but we can start with winners and losers, I guess. I think the first, I mean, Houston is just such a well-oiled machine right now. It's hard to imagine any team beating them. Yeah, the big news is that your pinky was saved.
It's here.
Yeah, good for you. They took care of business. They clinched the regular season title. And they, I mean, it was, they were in one of our Kettlecorn games last Monday at Texas Tech. They won, you know, they beat Cincinnati, a team that still has bubble hopes, you know, hungry team. They just can't lose right now. And it's like, I don't, it's just incredible to see how unstoppable a team like this is right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, they're unbelievable. I think they're pretty clinched for a one seed with how some other
I
things have
think so.
gone out in the scheme of college basketball, which I think is good for the Big 12. Like
Yeah.
they're loaded, and I know everyone talks about it, and we talk about it a ton. But like Kelvin Sampson, his journey has been amazing because he was kind of written off
Yeah.
with Indiana with all the violations back then, which would be nothing now in terms of paying players and all that type of jazz. But he's really flipped his career around, and Houston should really build a statue for him because Houston basketball was in a bad spot when he took over, and they really hadn't done anything since like Hakeem Olajuwon and Ralph Sampson back in the day. And he's completely flipped it around. He's one of the few programs that really develops. Like they don't take a lot of transfers. Milo Suzan's the one transfer that they really have, but like guys like Sharp and Roberts and Wilson, and they just have so many guys that have been there a while. And I know they took Cryer from Baylor, but he's been there some years now. And yeah, it's extremely impressive to lose Jamal Shead, the Big 12 Player of the Year, and arguably be a better team the next year. It's crazy. And now the question for them, like, can they get over the hump? And getting over the hump is making that Final Four and winning a national championship because they're right in that conversation. In my opinion, in the grand scheme of college basketball, I think it's Duke, Auburn, and Houston as that top three. And I mean, I'm excited to see what they do because their style of play is unique, right? Like they're slow, the defenses, they aren't really, they don't really adapt well to a fast-paced team, but they usually bring that fast-paced team down to their style. So it'll be interesting to see if they play like an Alabama or some team like that where it's fast down the line, like whether they can play to their style if they get pushed, but. They're one of the most intriguing teams in college basketball, and they've definitely elevated themselves above the rest of the Big 12. And it's they have the best shot out of any team in the Big 12 to win a national championship for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that for sure. What do you have? Give me a winner.
Yeah, I got a team we don't really talk about that much. Oklahoma
Perfect.
State.
Yeah,
I
nice.
think
Yeah, shout out to him.
they got a massive win over a not massive for their season, but. Just a cool moment for them because they haven't had a lot of success this year. They've been up and down. They almost beat TCU, but they were a Vachon Aillette miracle away from that win. But they've gotten better over the year, I think. And it's year one of Steve Lutz, so no real expectations. But a win over Iowa State is just one of those moments. Like we talked about with TCU back when we didn't think that they had any shots to make the tournament, that all you want to do is just have the moments. And for Oklahoma State, they had the moment. They court stormed at GIA, and beating a top 10 Iowa State team is big time. I know Iowa State was missing Curtis Jones, and or I think they had Curtis Jones, but they were missing Keyshawn Gilbert. Obviously, that has a big impact on him. But regardless, like Iowa State's a very good team, and Oklahoma State showed up. So shout out to them.
Yeah.
And the second team I had as a winner, just which may not be what you think, because as you mentioned with Houston beating Texas Tech, I think Texas Tech is a winner because the loss to Houston at home is obviously bad and you didn't want that. But They were out Chance and Deron Williams. Those are two of their
Yep.
best players. So
Yeah. And
I don't
they
really,
hung around.
and I don't really fault them for losing that game without two of your best players and two of the best players in the Big 12, to be honest. And then they bounce back and go into Kansas, and we can talk about Kansas later. But getting the win at
Sure.
Kansas with their guys back, like when Tech is at full strength, they're my second best team in the Big 12, and I think they're extremely dangerous. I think with Chance and Darion being out, and they've had some injury issues, throughout the year, and obviously they lost to TCU, which was an amazing win for the Frogs. But I think they've kind of dropped their seeding, going 2-2 in the last four. And I know I'm gonna pick them to go far in my bracket if they're like at that four line or something
Yeah.
like that, because they're dangerous, they're experienced. Darren Williams, Chance McMillan, JT Toppin is one of the best big threes there is, and then you have Christian Anderson as a freshman as one of the best shooters in the conference. So they're legit, and man, I think bouncing back with that win at Allen Fieldhouse was massive.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a big win. I mean, regardless of what Kansas is, which I don't know what Kansas is, but winning at Allen Fieldhouse is always an impressive thing. And they did it in a big way. I mean, I agree. I think when this team's healthy, they're just so tough. Like you look at what they did. You get 21 from Toppin, you get 14 from Williams. I mean, they just have guys everywhere who can do it, and it's kind of any given night for all of them. They can, they can all be on. One of them can be on, two of them can be on. It's just tough to stop them when they're healthy. So I hope they're healthy. I hope they stay healthy throughout March, because if they do, like you said, I think they're poised for a pretty special run. Maybe similar to that of, what was that, 20, was that 2019? 20,
Yeah, Jarrett Culver.
yeah, Jarrett Culver. I thought he was going to be such a beast in the NBA.
Yeah, he was one of the guys that rose his stock a ton. What was he, 7 overall of the T-Wolves? Yeah, that was a
Yeah,
fun
man.
ride for him.
Yeah, for
Yeah,
sure.
I think that was 19. That was when Old Town Road was trending.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and they
Hell
were playing
yeah.
that in the locker room. And yeah, Culver and Chris Beard.
Yeah.
Fun team, fun
A lot
team.
of, yeah. I'm trying to think. They had some funny white guy on that team that was really good.
Yeah.
Trying to remember who it was. Let me see. Oh, Matt Mooney.
Yes.
Remember him? He was good. Oh no,
Yeah.
Matt Mooney was good. I was talking about Moretti though. This guy down here,
Was it?
David Moretti from Italy. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. But
I remember Mooney too, though. Yeah.
Mooney was good. Moretti. Yeah, that was a good team. Anyway, yeah, I think that team is can definitely make a run. Kansas though, we can talk about Kansas. So to me, it's just apparent this program has no idea what to do when they lose. Like, I don't know if you saw, they put out a statement
Yeah,
for
I
losing.
saw it. Yeah.
They lost to Texas Tech at, like you said, Texas Tech, a really good team, one of the best in the country. They lost to them at home, which those fans aren't used to losing at home, but like they made it. Bill Self put out a statement through the
Yeah.
team's Twitter, like apologizing for losing. And I've never really seen anything like that. They don't know what it's like to not be winning every single game. And their fans are pissed. Rightfully so, really. Like, this is a talented roster that was ranked number one in the country before the season, and they just have not lived up to it. And you finally, in this Texas Tech game, you finally get something from KJ Adams. Actually, it was pretty excellent. He had 21 points on 10 of 12 shooting.
Yeah.
But then you get, 6 points from DeJuan Harris. He did have 7 assists, so that's good. But like Zeke Mayo, who fans are very unhappy with,
Yeah.
he didn't do anything. AJ Storr is pretty much a nothing every game now.
Yeah,
Yeah,
he's
I
like
mean,
out of the rotation,
he got five
pretty
minutes
much.
in this game,
Yeah.
which is just like, what the hell happened with that guy?
Yeah.
Crazy. But yeah, this Kansas team is just, they're in uncharted territory. They have no idea what to do. They have no idea what's going on. We keep saying like this team is good enough just on paper, talent alone, where if they put it together, it's like they can do something. But I mean, the more we go, the more I think they're just not going to put it together, because they can't. I don't think they I just don't know if they can put it together. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, and yeah, like you said, like the Bill Self apologizing for a win is definitely weird.
Very weird,
I
yeah.
think the reasoning probably was because I don't know if you saw the Zeke Mayo tweet
Yeah,
too.
I saw that.
So
That
that
was not good.
I wonder if that was a correlation to like tell the
Probably.
fans like blame me, not the players, because obviously the stuff said to Zeke Mayo is
Yeah, it was terrible.
extremely uncalled for.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe that's it. It's yeah. But as you said, like that's a sign of a bad times over there when you're,
Yeah.
when you don't have a good relationship with the fan base, players, the coach. Obviously, Sell's probably fine, but it's turmoil over there. It's not good.
It is.
But the crazy thing about all of this is that they're still gonna be, a 5, 6, 7 seed, and they're still gonna have the talent to put together a run. Like
Yeah, absolutely. They still do.
it's crazy because yeah, they've sucked recently, and they've been extremely underwhelming for the preseason number one team. But they're one of the most interesting. I think we talk about them so much because they have this talent that you don't know with Self's coaching, with what he's done with teams before. Like at the snap of a finger, they could turn it around. They're so intriguing. They have a massive week this week, and we'll probably talk about it with Corn Meter. But at Houston at home against Arizona, two of the best teams in the Big 12. Like it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And yeah, Kansas is just so interesting.
Yeah.
The team Self like wins with and then doesn't like some
Yeah, it's
of his
yeah.
most talented teams are the ones that don't have crazy success. Like this
Yeah.
team's talents off the charts. Like I think about the 2021 Natty team that TCU was the last team to beat. Shout out.
Yeah.
But like Ochai Agbaji and like Dave McCormick, like those guys aren't, like Christian Braun, like
Christian
that's
Braun,
obviously a
yeah.
really good team, but it's not like they've had so many better teams that just haven't done it. And it's intriguing. I'm super interested to see how Kansas finishes the year and how they do in March because,
Yeah.
like I said, like they could be a first round exit, and I wouldn't be surprised if they could make the Final Four. And I'd be a little bit surprised, but I wouldn't be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, purely based on their roster, I bet the beginning of the season, a lot of Kansas fans would probably have said, I mean, it was the number one team entering the season in the AP poll. I bet a lot of them would have said, like, yeah, I think this team's as good as that cha national championship team, maybe even better, just because of the
Yeah.
talent, just because of who they brought in. But yeah, I mean, it has not worked. So once again, they've kind of become a consistent. They've made it consistent appearances in our loser column, and they've done it
Yeah.
again this week. If they can, they have a chance to put together a really, really good week heading into the tournament. If they get wins over Houston or Arizona, that would be pretty big for them. But yeah, that's what I have there.
Yeah. A semi loser was Iowa State for losing to Oklahoma State. It's just because they've kind of dropped in their seed a ton. Like they were in the one conversation. They were the best team
Yeah.
heading into the Big 12 coming in. So they're dropping a little bit, but they got Keyshawn back and they got a big win
Yeah.
Saturday. So I won't talk about them too much. But my other loser that I want to get into is Utah. And Utah got a big win over Arizona State at home by 26 the other day. But the conversation I wanted that shocked me was when they fired Craig Smith
Yeah. Oh
earlier in the
yeah,
week.
we still haven't mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah, Utah was a team. I know they're not great, but right now they said 8-10 in conference. And when they fired Craig, they were 7-9. They were picked dead last in the Big 12 this year, and this is
Yeah.
their first season in the Big 12, so their first real go of it, and they're right in the middle of it, and had I thought was having a pretty decent season. Like I saw when they came into TCU and got a big win. That was a bad loss to the Frogs, but they didn't have any bad losses in the non-con. They've really elevated their rankings throughout the year with everything. Like
Yeah.
they've beaten BYU. They had
Big Kansas.
yeah they beat Kansas. They've had marquee wins. Like they beat Kansas. And then, like a week and a half later, their head coach is gone. I just thought that was a crazy move. I know he's been there 4 years and they haven't had a crazy amount of success, but they're in the Big 12 now and they were playing above their expectations. So that shocked me. I thought he was a pretty decent coach, and I was just surprised by the coaching fire, and that's not the one I expected the most.
No. Definitely
Like I
not.
said, like we talked about guys like Bobby Hurley and others maybe stepping down, like the coaching carousel could get crazy, and that this was the first domino that fell and the first real surprise for me.
Yeah, huge surprise. It doesn't really make any sense to me. I don't know. I haven't really followed it too closely. I just saw when it happened. I don't know if there's anything new that's come out about it, but really just such a shocking decision because I mean, they won 20 games last year. They won 20 something games last year. I think they might have been in the NIT. I mean, it's not like they've been horrible. And this year, it's not like they've been horrible. They, like you said, they're 8-10 in the Big 12. Like they have a chance to potentially finish 10-10. It'll be tough because they got to go to BYU and host West Virginia. But I don't know. This seemed like a really odd decision, especially because a lot of people, I mean, Craig Smith's a good basketball coach. He's,
Yeah.
he had a lot of success at Utah State, obviously.
He
And
was really, they made the tournament all 3 years he was there.
yeah, that was always a really good team he put together at Utah State. And I mean, yeah, he's like, last year they were fine. Like, I don't really get it, to be honest.
Yeah. It was
Very
crazy.
weird.
That was just
Really
something I wanted
weird.
to bring up is the coaching carousel is going to be fun to see.
Yeah.
And see how, who takes Utah and how the dominoes fall because of that.
Yeah. I have a couple teams we can talk about who may or may not be on the bubble before we get into
Let's do
the
it.
meter. We talked about one already, but Baylor like is not a lock at all. They're not a
Yeah.
lock. They've lost three of four. And their three losses, they lost to Arizona at home, Colorado on the road, Cincinnati on the road. They finally bounced back against Oklahoma State, but
Yeah, but not really,
I mean, yeah, not really.
like
At
Oklahoma
home,
State
they only
covered
beat them
that
by 10.
game.
Yeah.
Like if they didn't get the OT loss to or the OT win against West Virginia, like they would have lost five straight
Yeah.
in, so 5 of 6, I guess, with the Oklahoma State win. And yeah, Oklahoma State covered, like I said. Like it's I know they're missing the big shooter, Josh OG
Oh
OG Ogino, O I don't know how to pronounce it.
yeah.
Josh Oginnuwa,
Something.
he's been there a few years now, and he's
Oh.
one of their best, bigs that's really been huge for them. So obviously that's hurting them, but they have so much talent that it shouldn't bother them that much. And I
Yeah.
think if Kansas wasn't doing so bad, like the Baylor would get more talked about as being a disappointment because the fact they're on the bubble is insane. Like
Yeah.
they were bringing back a lot. They added Jeremy or Vijay Adichie is top five NBA prospects, for sure going to be a top five pick, it seems like. Like he could go as high as number two. And he's been great this year. Norchad came in from Miami. He's been great this year. You bring in Jeremy Roach. Like it's, Jeremy Roach was a 4-year starter at Duke. Like it's defense. I don't know what it is. Like they just can't seem to put it together. They're playing Dubrovich, who's a freshman, who's, wasn't expected to play this year. It's an interesting team. It's exciting because, like I said in the TCU Baylor preview, like TCU could really knock them out because they don't, they have the bad loss to Gonzaga early in non-con. They beat, or they lost to Tennessee, they lost to UConn. Like that UConn loss is not looking good. The one win that or the two wins they have is Arkansas on a neutral, and then like I've said a million times before, like if Jeremy Roach didn't make that shot in the St. John's game, they could be in real trouble. Right now, I think they're still in, but
Yeah.
again, with games at TCU and then home versus Houston, yeah, the TCU game's gonna be huge for them because
Yeah.
that Houston game Saturday is massive. And I will say, dream week for TCU with Baylor. TCU beats Baylor, obviously, and then Baylor's net is hovering around 30 right now. They're right out, so it would be a quad two win for TCU at Baylor. But if they beat Houston, if Baylor beats Houston at home on Sunday, I would like to think that their net would rise above 30 regardless of the TCU loss Tuesday. So dream week for TCU. You beat them,
Beat
obviously, and then
Baylor.
you root for Baylor to beat Houston because that would add a fifth quad one win. Again, I'm
Yeah.
probably thinking way too much in the future, but that's
Yeah.
just how I'm looking at this week for Baylor.
Yeah, I mean it's a serious week for Baylor. TCU is I hope they are fired up to play. They should be ready to go because
Yeah.
this game is their entire season, essentially. They've got to be ready to go. And yeah, I mean, then you got to go to Houston. It's gonna be a tough finish to the season. But yeah, that's the first team. And then the other team I had was, or that Lenardi had was Cincinnati in the next four out spots. So they have work to do. Obviously, like we talked about, they got that win against Baylor. They just lost to Houston on the road, which isn't a bad loss. They have two pretty winnable games coming up. I don't know if you if they went out and get one win in the tournament, is that enough for you to put them in?
Yeah, I think so. They're definitely. I think that win specifically over TCU was big because they're both bubble teams, but they're the opposite of the TCU case. TCU has the wins. TCU is 9-9 in the conference. They're above the 7-11 of Cincinnati, and even in non-conference, since he didn't play anybody, so they don't have, that many good wins. Like they both TCU and Cincinnati both have the best, exactly the same non-con best win, which is Xavier at home, and TCU has a better record in conference play, so you would think that they would be above them, but it's metrics.
Yeah,
TCU
it's
doesn't
all
have the metrics.
metrics.
Since he does since he's net is 40, TCU's is 70. Since he's Evan Mai is 38, their T rank is 41, their BPI is 38, their KenPom's 50. Like they're so above that their metrics alone will get them in, or give them a shot to get in, I should say. And yeah, so if they keep winning games, they'll move up, and they're definitely alive because, as we've talked about, like their talent is big. They were expected to make the tournament coming in. And TCU's definitely K-State and Oklahoma State fans this week, because you want to see other bubble teams lose. So seeing them, K-State can, we've seen them be weird, right? We've seen them win weird games. If they go into Cincy, that'd be huge for TCU. And then Oklahoma State in Stillwater, we saw them have a big win against Iowa State. So it's doable, but Cincy's playing well right now, so they're definitely alive. But right now, Cincy's not in, but they're above TCU because of their metrics, which your opinions on that can differ. But it'll be interesting to see how they do, because they are very much alive, and the way they've turned their season around is impressive. They were 2-8 at the time, and now they sit at 7-11.
They're talented, and they, yeah, I mean, the metrics work for them. The metrics are certainly in their favor. So, yeah, they've got a shot for sure. All right, last thing, corn meter.
Let's do it.
You ready?
I'm so ready.
All right.
Last regular season weekend.
For the
This is
final
it.
pod of the regular season. For those who don't know, the corn meter, we just rank five random games that I will pick on a scale of corn, from candy corn being the worst all the way to kettle corn being the best. The first one I have, we're going to stick with the Big Monday games. We've got Kansas going to Houston tonight as we're recording this.
Kansas at Houston. I'll go Elote. As we've talked about, like, Houston's a powerhouse. And for that reason, like, watching them is fun enough to put them at Elote. And Kansas has the talent to do so. But it would just be foolish of me to say that it would be an amazing game, because I anticipate Houston winning pretty handily. But I guess the one X factor, aside of the fact that Kansas has talent and could pull off any win, is that we've seen Kelvin Sampson teams in the past kind of, like, once they get in a solid position, like he almost throws away, like they don't have as much to play for at this point, is what I'm trying to say. Like, he doesn't really value a crazy amount of things, like a Big 12 tournament. He just wants to be ready for March. But it is senior night for Houston, so I'm sure they'll be ready. And like I said, like, it's a low tip from the fact that I expect Houston to win pretty easily.
I think I agree. All right, next up, let's see. All right, we've talked about this game a bunch. It's a big game on this podcast. I'll go for Tuesday, I'll go Baylor at TCU.
Yeah, for those teams it's kettle corn, right? But
Yeah.
I'll say
Huge.
for the grand scheme of things, it's still popcorn. Like this is still an amazing rivalry game. It's a high popcorn game. Like bring it out when you're watching. It's for a bubble. It's not for, like you said, it's not for a Big 12 championship like the women's game, and there could be higher stakes involved. But it's a massive opportunity for TCU. If they win this, like they're back fully into it. It'll be interesting to watch other games as they all have implications on TCU season. It's super exciting. It's senior night for TCU. Obviously not a class that has had a lot of experience or seasons playing. Like no players played multiple years there. But it's still an emotional night. I expect this show to be packed. I expect it to be a good environment, and I'm stoked for what this game could present. Last time TCU saw a big game on a Tuesday was Texas Tech, and that went pretty well for them. So I'm stoked.
I like it. All right, sticking with Tuesday, 8 o'clock, we have a top 25 matchup, BYU at Iowa State.
Yeah, I think this is really high popcorn too. BYU's been unbelievable. And Iowa State is obviously still one of the best teams, and they just got Keyshawn Gilbert back and a big win. So I like they're if Iowa State's a full go, they're elite. And I think BYU is starting to get an elite territory as well with how they're
Yeah,
playing
they're good.
recently. Again, a ranked matchup, high popcorn. I'm super intrigued to see what BYU does on the road. I expect Iowa State to win. Just because they're pissed off some recent success and now they start to have their team back, but I wouldn't be surprised with anything BYU does this time. And yeah, buttered popcorn. I'll give
There
them
you go.
that.
Buttered popcorn. All right. Let's go to Saturday. We got a full slate of games on Saturday. This is the last day of the regular season for the conference. There's no Sunday games. Let's go with Cincinnati at Oklahoma State. This is
Yeah.
at 2 o'clock on Saturday in Stillwater.
I'll go Lotte here. Obviously Oklahoma State hasn't been good, and there's no thing about that. But like I just said, like they just beat Iowa State, and Cincinnati's looking to make a bubble. So not your most elite teams, but especially for TCU, like this is big applications, and the Frog fans should be Poke fans for this one. And yeah, I think this is a solid Lotte.
All right. The final game we have, 7 o'clock. We'll go Texas Tech at Arizona State.
Texas Tech at Arizona State. Arizona State is
They're a mess.
such a weird team. Yeah. And they'll still randomly pull out a win. I don't know. I might go pop. I'll go popcorn.
Nice.
Because it is on the road and Arizona State's just a wild card, and seeing Texas
Yeah.
Tech is fun. So Texas Tech, we've seen them struggle a little bit on the road. Obviously TCU recently, and I'm excited to see what Texas Tech starts to do when they get healthy. And
Yeah.
this is a nice test for them. A game they should win, but at Arizona State is interesting. So yeah, I'm interested to see how Arizona State comes out, what their team looks like, and I'm interested to see how Texas Tech keeps their season going. So yeah, I'll give it a popcorn.
Yeah, I mean, like you keep saying, this Bobby Hurley might be coaching for his job every game, so it is
Yeah.
certainly a big deal for him in that program. All right. Great edition of the Corn Meter. We've got another fun week. Like you said, last week of the regular season, and then the tournament comes around and things start to get even more real for the whole conference. But yeah, anything else from you?
That's it. Stoked for this one. Hopefully we can keep talking tournament because I think TCU has to do it has to have a 2-0 week to keep those talks alive. So I'm excited about it and huge opportunity for the Frogs.
Yep. Tuesday night in Fort Worth is going to be a huge game. Huge, huge game. If they lose it, it's hard to see them having a path. If they win, things are definitely open for them. So, really, I would say one of the most exciting games of the year, just based on
For
what it
sure.
means for their season. I hope they play like it, because that would be, just a massive win. But either way, keep coming back. We appreciate all the listeners. And it's March, like we said. The time is now. This is March. We'll have podcasts throughout all the craziness that goes on. So keep returning. We appreciate it a lot. My name is Davis Wilson. That is Nick Giramani, and we will see you again next week.
Thank you, guys.